Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning, as is almost always the case, is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Stone. How are things in your world?
Going really well. Holly spent the entire weekend at home, and she'll be here through Wednesday.
That's a treat.
Yeah. Then she's headed across the pond to go pick up my kid from Oxford.
And she's coming home with her?
And coming home with her. And I think I have a field trip scheduled for her. I'm going to have her visit some studio facilities while she's over there as we start to look at doing a little bit more work on that side of the pond for us.
Excellent.
So that's going to be fun. Today's segment is a Dunwoody Chamber special. So we have back in the studio with us, Miss Debbie Fuse. How you doing, Sunshine?
I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
What's happening in the world of Dunwoody? Anything we should know about?
You know, there's a lot going on in Dunwoody, and you guys, you know, you're so familiar with us, and it's a great thing to be here again this month. But some of the things that we've got coming up very soon is our Dunwoody Dusk event that we're going to be doing in the various different shopping centers throughout Dunwoody to try to bring some of the people out to those different markets that aren't quite as familiar. So that's one of the big things on our plate coming up for the summer. It's going to start in May. And it'll be the third Friday every month, which will be a blast. So we're going to have some music and some shopping and some eating and drinking. I think we'll have a good time.
You had me at drinking.
There you go.
Should have started there, right? Right.
I had a question for you. I just got a note that Brookhaven is coming online with the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, they are.
How does that impact Dunwoody? You guys play nice together?
Well, you know, we play nice with everybody. So it gets to be interesting because people don't know where they're located. They don't know what's going on. And why do we have all these chambers? But, you know, it gets to be fun. It's always a challenge, but every one of us play nice with each other. So that's what's important.
Now, I know that you and the Sandy Springs people are putting together a big event.
Yes, we are. We have our Greater Perimeter Business Expo, which is going to be coming up on May 2nd. And I believe we're working out some details to have you guys there for the day. So I'm excited about that.
And then, so you have the dusk thing. You got this business expo. It just seems like it's a never-ending supply of events that you guys are working on. Do you ever sleep?
Not so much. And this new time change kind of kicked me this morning, just like it probably did everybody else.
Now, are you still on the hunt for expanding? You want more members?
Absolutely.
Or do you have enough?
No, you know, you never have enough. It's always fun when you have more members. But, you know, that's a big part of it. But we keep trying to bring out more and more programs for all of our members. So we've got several things that are going to be going on this year. And obviously with all the things that are going on with DeKalb County with education, we're working on some pieces with education as well. So we've got a group working on that. So, you know, our fun just doesn't end.
Now, how many businesses are there in Dunwoody? You know about?
Yeah. It's got to be a bunch.
Well, in Dunwoody proper, so to speak, there's like 2,800 businesses.
And then how many members do you have?
We have 380
So
we
got some room to grow here.
We've got some room to go.
Now, if you were a business that's not a member, what would be some of the compelling reasons why they should kind of consider joining the Dunwoody Chamber?
Well, depending upon what their need is and what they're looking for, but we really try to work with each of them independently to try to determine some things that they need. But a big part of everything, I believe, is really getting the companies out there, getting some information and some marketing for them. This is one of the ways that we do that, through you guys. But we also do some articles through the paper. We do things online with our website. So there's a lot of different ways that we could market a firm. The higher-level members are also, their logos are at every one of our events. So that's another way to get involved and be out there, even if you're not there. Mm-hmm. But along with marketing, we also work on various different committees and challenges throughout, and economic development being one big piece of it. We work very closely with the city and economic development. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have another meeting on that this afternoon. So that's always a lot of fun for us. And then, you know, education is a big takeoff this year. We're working on a youth leadership program as well. So there's a lot of reasons to be involved. But I'll tell you, our members like doing business with each other. So we hear that at every event as everybody's talking. I can walk through the room and I just hear it all over the place. So it's a blast to hear that kind of stuff.
And don't you have a lot of subgroups, people that have common interest, and they'll get together for their own little event, right?
Absolutely. I have a group that's now called Power Teams. It does a financial meeting every month. Actually, they meet twice a month. We have a women's group, which is our Chamber in Heels group. We have our young professionals team, which actually Sandy Springs and Dunwoody are talking about putting that one together, because it's kind of a different type of group to work with, because everything's last minute. And I think they've had some challenges trying to putting that group together as well. So we're actually going to put the two teams together and see if that works better for everybody.
Well, that's why we love working with the Dunwoody Chamber so much. So much of our mission and purpose is so wholly aligned. You really are committed to helping businesses get the word out about the good work that they're doing for their market and their profession, and that's certainly what we're about here.
That's right.
Absolutely, and this is just one great way. I tell you, I've had some great feedback
just
recently.
It's the main way.
It is the main way. But you know, I just had some great feedback about somebody who was just on the show a couple weeks ago, uh-huh. and they were telling me they had some really great feedback from this event. So it's fantastic.
Sweet. Well, and you brought a member with you this morning.
Let's bring a great member with us this morning. He's got some great topics to talk about, and I'm sure everyone's going to find it very interesting. But we have Jason Shapiro. He's the CEO and co-founder of Transaction Tree, and I'm excited to see you here this morning, Jason.
Good to see you, too.
Well, welcome to the show, man. Transaction Tree must have something to do with the money, huh? Tell us about those things.
Or trees.
Or trees.
not so much money, but after the fact of the money, right?
After the fact.
Yeah, give us a little bit of an overview, if you would.
So just a little bit of overview. Transaction Tree deals with the post-transaction part, right? So it's after you make that transaction and that little piece of paper that they normally give you almost every place you go, which is, you know, commonly known as the receipt today.
Yes.
Basically, we have a couple different pieces of technologies that work with almost any merchant or retailer that's out there today that enables them to digitize that, send it to their consumers, and then apply different marketing based on what you had actually purchased, who you are, you know, how long you've come, you know, been a shopper of theirs.
So now, when it's digital, are you saying like it's emailed to me?
Correct.
Rather than printed out and handed to me?
Yeah, so it's either emailed to you, or we also can have it made available online through the merchant's website.
Oh, and what's the benefit to me by doing it that way?
So as a consumer, you know, a couple benefits to you is, number one, you, now you're not sticking another piece of paper in your wallet, right?
Right, I'm crumbling it up to throw away later.
Throw it away. You're now able to save it for long periods of time for taxes or insurance purposes.
Right. 'Cause
a lot of people don't realize is, you know, the old theory of keeping it in your shoebox in your house, right? Well, what happens if your house burns down or
right.
there's a
flood?
That
could be a problem, right?
Or things like that, and all of a sudden it's destroyed. You know, now you have to reproduce that for insurance. And I don't know if you've ever tried to call one of these department stores.
I'm sure it's very easy to take your word for it. Right?
Remember when I was in your store
a couple
2 months
ago?
I was wearing a red shirt.
And I bought $500 worth of stuff.
Right.
It's very difficult. And that's just on the normal consumer side. Let's say you're a business user, right?
Right.
And it makes it a lot easier for expense reports. And again,
right.
big hassle with keeping things for long periods of time for taxes, audit purposes, things like that.
So now, as Transaction Tree, are you interacting with me as the consumer? Am I now having a place where all my receipts live, or are you dealing with each individual vendor?
No. So as the consumer, we're transparent to them. They don't actually see us anywhere. We only work straight with the vendors, so either the merchants or the retailers, and everything is branded for them. So again, as a consumer, you don't see us.
Right. So if I went to, what's one of your clients?
The Walking Company is one of our stores.
Okay. So I go to the Walking Company and I go to pay. And then so instead of printing out a receipt, they just ask for my email, or they ask for some digital way to reach me?
They just ask for your email, and that's about it.
And then they send me an email, or they ask if I want an email to me?
Well, they asked if you want an email receipt first, and then you give them your email address, and then it's emailed off to you.
And then that's it?
That's it.
So from that point forward, when I go in there,
you could have it emailed every time.
CPAs must love you. Yeah? Are CPAs referring you to?
It makes it a lot easier. I mean, just a quick story. We, you know, when we went through, you know, growing as a company, we've had to do audits and things like that. And it took us forever to dig up everything from our first audit. And
right.
To imagine that the headache free it would be, you know, to not have to have all that.
And then so what do you give, like if I was audited and I had your service, what do I give them?
Well, everything's in your inbox.
Oh, so I just send emails and say, here you go.
You can have it all in your, exactly there. Or you can call the retailer and request them to send you a complete file of all your receipts.
Oh, so the retailer then can just sort my receipts out and say, here you go, here's a zip file, and here's you know, all the money you've spent with us forever.
Well, not forever, for the last 3 years.
For the last 3 years that you had been working with them?
Correct.
And so do you have a lot of competition in this space, or are you the only player, or what's that look like?
There's a few competitors. Again, there's two different sides of the business, similar to what you guys had mentioned. There's the merchant side of the business, which is who we work with, and then there's the consumer side of the business, which there's quite a few competitors in that space where, you know, it's an online repository, so you can access all your receipts online.
Right.
What we've seen in that area is some merchants are comfortable with it, but a lot of them aren't, because now you're mixing and matching data and receipts across competing stores.
Right.
So there's been some issues with that. And then on our side, there's one or two other competitors that are a decent size as we are, you know, across the country. So it's definitely growing, and we see new ideas pop up all the time.
So now is your sweet spot the retailer?
Yeah. Our sweet spot's the retailer. We work with retailers from 1 to 1,000 stores locations.
So like a franchise, that would be good for you?
Franchises are decent, yeah. That just depends on how their business is run, but yeah.
Right.
So I want to hear a little bit about how you got this thing off the ground. Did you meet with some initial resistance? I'd like to hear from the marketing side and also just from the funding of just keeping the thing going till you could get some oxygen.
Yeah, yeah. So first off, the idea actually came from my wife when she was doing her master's program. She's been involved in the mobile payment space for a while, and her original idea was to take a credit card, put a USB drive embedded on that, so when you check out, you plug it in.
Right.
And then the receipt would be downloaded onto your card. Great idea. The issue there is those devices are very, very expensive. And then you get a lot of pushback when you're trying to change a piece of hardware in the space that
right.
you know, could typically cost an average of $1,000 or more.
Right.
So from there, we basically said, okay, great idea. Let's see if we can make this a little bit easier. So from there, we turned it into a tiny piece of software that can pretty much run in any environment today that a retailer uses. And that basically enables them to be able to send out the email receipt. Now, what did we do from there, right, is basically we did a very basic version. We did a proof of concept at the NRF Big Show back in 2009, January, to really showcase it to the retailers. And from there, we really got a sense of what they thought about it. And we went there. When we went there, we were very green behind the ears or whatever. And literally, that was our pitch, was green.
Was eco.
Oh,
yeah,
no more paper receipts.
No more paper receipts.
Filling landfills.
Yeah, save trees, you know, things like that. And it was well received, but unfortunately, that wasn't the real value. So over the next couple of years, we really learned that what the retailer saw was, number one, was email capture. Email validation, which is a huge one, because today a lot of retailers, let's say you gave them your email one time.
Right.
There's never really a point of period where you go back and revalidate that or say this is still correct.
Right.
And then number three is the marketing area. And then the fourth still actually comes up quite often is the green aspect of the technology, as far as this is something that they can use for PR, saying we're being green, saving trees. And we actually have a ton of metrics around that to where they can produce that and send out PR regarding that.
Now, did it help you when like Apple started doing this?
Well, Apple did it before us, right? So yeah, it definitely helped. A lot of people are like, oh, like the Apple Store.
You right, know, and you're like, thing. Yeah, you can be like the Apple Store.
Yeah, but you know, one thing that they do is, you know, they basically send you a PDF. That's about right. it when you check out of the store. There's nothing else there, right? Well, that's something that they built homegrown. The difference there is what we send out is an actual embedded image of the receipt, so you don't have to download anything on your smartphone. You don't have to have a PDF reader or anything like that. And then number two, there can be very relative content. For example, some of our grocery customers, basically what we do there is we have coupons that are associated with what you purchase. So if you bought product A,
nice.
You're pretty much not going to care about a $2 off coupon for a different product because
right.
you want to stick with your product. So now there's a coupon for that same product.
Right.
So those are things that we've added in there.
So that's the value to the retailer.
Yeah.
So where it's just not like just trading one type of receipt for another.
No.
There's some marketing.
Yeah, definitely value. And one thing you also notice is one thing we did when we started this, we looked at the average size of receipt paper, right? So the average size for when you go into a store and you buy one line item
right.
is 10 inches. That's
really?
The average, right?
It's ridiculous.
And that's no on average. There's some retailers where we've seen gone between 22 and 25 inches.
Right. You go to the grocery store. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, they're and folding it five times.
And the whole thing there is that they're trying to give you additional marketing material, right?
Right.
So if you look on that those really long ones, you see a survey, you see
right.
a sign up for our branded credit card, you see the return policies, and it just goes on
right.
and on, see our social links and things like that. And basically, you know, that's why it's so long. So instead of giving you that long piece, now you have a nice little short piece inside the digital receipt. And then now you have all that same information, but it's very easy to click. So for example, those surveys, right? They've been enticing you with saying, take our survey, you can get a $500 gift card.
Right.
Yeah, but now you have to call a phone number when you get home, if you remember.
Right.
And then from there, you got to put in all this information that's already on the receipt. So basically what we've done there is we've automated that, right? So now there's a nice, pretty button that says, win $500, take our survey. Click here. Everything's already pre-filled out for you. All you do is have to take the survey.
Right. So it takes probably, what, a fifth of the time?
Yeah. It saves about 3 or 4 pages of clicking.
No, that's huge. I mean, how many of us have actually gone to the back of a paper receipt,
right,
dialed that number?
Never.
Now, is there, do you have any gamification on this? Do you help them in that area?
No, we haven't really touched on the gamification part. Pretty much we've stayed laser-focused on what we're doing because that was one thing we had learned is when you have a new technology,
first
everyone wants to work with you and pulls you a million different ways. Right. And
so you're focused on this, but I would see in the future that must be on your back burner list at least.
Yeah, there's a couple things like that. I mean, there's some other stuff on the consumer side, like I was telling you how there's other people in the space that only focus on the consumers. So there's things around that side of the business that we'll be focusing
on. Do you have separate channels of B2B and B2C?
Yeah, so most of our stuff is B2B as far as from us to the business. But, yeah, we do have some customers that are...
like, say I'm an accountant.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like what about a B2B service where I have receipts for them or I send them invoices? Is there a component of your business that helps in that area?
Not right now, but it's something we are looking at.
Mm-hmm. And your sales and marketing process, what does that look like? How do you go about selling this stuff?
So we actually do a couple different ways. Our predominant ways, we've actually...
You mail them back their receipts. Like, see that? That's five feet of receipts.
No, actually, we've been very fortunate in that we've worked out quite a few deals with some of the point-of-sale companies. So these are the providers that, you know, actually are selling their software to the retailers, which is what's ringing you up. So they've actually taken our software and our service and embedded it in there. So the retailer is not actually having to do anything else. They basically call us for a license key, and it's on, and they're using us. And then we also, for the smaller segment, we work with a lot of resellers to where they're reselling our software. And then we do some, but little direct. We try to focus more on the channels.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get some coordinates from him in just a little bit when we wrap. But I was looking at the guest sheet here and the Facebook page for them. It ends in / no mo paper. It's very creative.
Yeah, we actually have quite a few creative names. So,
I got to know, what did you do before you fell into this and your wife opened up this whole new world for you?
It was really IT focused. You know, a lot of IT admin stuff, some little bit of development here and there, and then I got heavily into sales for a little while, and then got into this.
Now, what's your relationship with the Dunwoody Chamber? How do you use them to help you grow your business?
Well, we are a Dunwoody business, and honestly, most of our stuff goes through Dunwoody. All this, you know, data comes through data centers that we have in Dunwoody and things like that, as well as, you know, we're involved in as much of the events. And Dunwoody is honestly one of our favorite cities. I was born in Dunwoody.
There you go.
And we all live in Dunwoody pretty
much. Okay, let's pretend Debbie's not here. Now... Now, what do you do, like in a chamber meeting? How do you use that to further your business?
Basically, it's mostly utilized for networking and things like that to meet different people.
So you go to the meetings and you participate?
Yeah, we go to some of them, not all.
Sure. I mean, there's one every day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Only Debbie goes to all. I don't even think she goes to all of them.
I go to probably 95% of them.
And we also try to provide some ideas we have to the back to the chamber as far as some things that would be useful.
To get rid of their receipts, right? That's the first thing.
Paper. We survive on paper.
So what's next for you guys? Where are you going to be putting your energy in the next coming months, you think?
Next coming months, I mean, we have already 40 different brands with about 700 locations across the U.S.
Oh,
so
wow.
We'll be trying to continually grow our footprint. We've got a couple huge chains that should be going live in the next few months. And then we're really going to start focusing more on the mobile side when it comes to delivery of the receipts, especially like the SMS and things like that. Because, you know, right now we've been focused mostly in North America, but we've had quite a few prospects over in Europe and Southeast Asia, and their predominant method of messaging is SMS compared to email. So.
Now, is there you mentioned trade shows earlier. Do you still do trade shows?
We do go to some retail trade shows.
Where you present your product there?
Yes. So we'll definitely present in every trade show. I mean, just for example, that very first one I talked to you about, we did about 252 demos that year.
Wow.
In 3 days. So, yeah.
That's kind of busy.
Yeah.
So green and gluten-free. Come see Transaction Tree.
And BPA-free.
So let's make sure our listeners know how to get in touch with you and learn more about this service, man. So let's give them some coordinates.
Yeah. So you can go to our website, which is www.transactiontree.com. You can send an email to myself if you need anything, which is Jay Shapiro, and that's SHAPIRO @transactiontree.com.
Fantastic. And Debbie, let's make sure that we're caught up on current events that our listeners need to know about and make sure that they know how to get in touch with you guys down at the Chamber.
Okay, I have a couple of things. The Dunwoody Perimeter Coffee Connections, which is moving to Tuesday mornings instead of Monday mornings, which we're very, very happy about.
Because it was conflicting with the show? They were having trouble with
absolutely. It was really difficult, and it was very difficult to be there at 7:15 on a Monday morning. So we are also at the Capitol Grill with that event.
Uh-huh.
And
very
it
nice.
Is the last fourth Tuesday of every month. So this month it's going to be economic development. It's going to be the focus. It's going to be Michael Starling, the mayor, Michael Davis, and also the new manager at the La Meridian Hotel, which is just converting over and has opened. And it really is a great hotel. It's the it's Peter Dunn. He's mm-hmm. the new general manager over there. So that's who's going to be there on the last Tuesday of the month. I'm sorry.
Now, any new restaurants opening that we should know about?
We've
You're
got,
always good for the restaurant report.
I know, mm-hmm. and we've got a bunch of them. You know, Uncle Matteo's just opened over around the Walmart Center.
Mm-hmm.
And there's getting ready to be another Broken Egg, which is going to be opening in the middle of April.
I've not been to a Broken Egg. We like Egg Harbor. Right. We enjoy Egg Harbor. So well, tell me
breakfast?
About Broken Egg.
You know, I'll know more when they open. But right now, I'm real excited about them getting open. And they are going to be a very nice breakfast restaurant as well. They're only going to be open until 2 in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be a breakfast-lunch environment only. And they are going to have a small private room, from what I understand, because chatted with them about that. And it looks like they're going to have one about 30 people it can hold.
Where is that located?
Again, over in the Walmart Shopping Center. It's right
wow,
on the corner.
A lot of
where the,
over there.
Yeah, it is. It's like all of a sudden. There are two or three that are probably going to get ready to open in the village, of which I can't quite name yet, but hopefully by next month I'll be able to.
Any businesses that we should know about that are relocating here to Dunwoody?
Think. Oh, you know, State Farm's coming in here like gangbusters right now, so that's all over everywhere, so you guys are all familiar with them. But they're taking on a lot of space. You know, there's about two or three new hotels getting ready to start out at probably in the next 6 months to a year.
And healthcare. Anything going on with that corridor up
you
there?
You know, that is a, you know, that's mostly on the SS side of the road.
SS. Oh, really?
Sorry. But that's okay. That's okay. There's a lot going on in that corridor, actually. And because the hospitals are there, it's really
right.
important.
Right.
So, but all around Dunwoody, there's a lot of technology things going on. There's a lot of movement happening. You know, we've got Elekta. Which does the Gamma Knife, which does also a lot of cancer equipment. And they're over in the South Terraces building. So there's a lot happening around Dunwoody right now. We are pretty much getting full on all of our rental space, which
good
is
stuff.
A really good thing in Dunwoody.
That's why you got to join, be
that's
a member,
right.
and know what's happening.
Be a part of us, because otherwise, you know, you miss out on all that
and
stuff.
And you got these two big shindigs coming in May, right?
Two great big things starting in May. And, you know, with the Greater Perimeter Business Expo being first on the 2nd mm-hmm. of the month, and then later in the month, we'll be having the Dunwoody at Dusk event. So that's great. Chamber and Heels functions, Young Professionals functions will start. One is the 2nd Tuesday of the month. The other one is the 3rd Tuesday.
And what's the website of the Dunwoody Chamber if you want to learn more?
DunwoodyCommerce.org. Pretty simple, pretty basic. And you can always call our office as well if you have questions. And that's 678-244-9700.
Well, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank
it's
you.
Always a pleasure.
I love it.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor and our guest this morning, Debbie Fuse with Dunwoody Chamber and Jason Shapiro with Transaction Tree. And everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.